You'll open your Bibles. You'll probably want your Bibles open in two places, Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 48. I'd like to read at this time. We've already read Genesis chapter 48, and so we'd like to read at this time then the verse found in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21. Hebrews 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Our topic this morning, retaining gratitude. In times of disaster in Chile, we had opportunities to do some distribution of food and clothing. We found that it was never any problem to begin a distribution of food and clothing, but you just try to stop a program of distribution of food and clothing, and you'll find out how many people hate you. As long as you were passing it out, they loved you. Before you started passing it out, they didn't hate you, but when you stopped, and then you had it, they expect it for the rest of their lives. Now, this isn't merely in foreign lands. We find this here in our country as well. And I'm sure that we find here it's much easier to get people on relief and unemployment and things like that than it is to get them off afterwards. Basically, the human heart is the same all around the world. Ingratitude. And this ingratitude is not merely characteristic either of unbelievers. It's very possible for people who know God to become very ungrateful. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, where we have the steps of getting away from God, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 21, we read that when they knew God, so here we have people who knew God, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Now that means one of the very first steps away from God is ingratitude. Neither were thankful. So I think we need to ask ourselves, if this is true, if one of the very first steps away from God is ingratitude, then how can we retain gratitude in our hearts? How can we maintain a grateful heart, a grateful spirit? Here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, we have the reference to Jacob blessing the sons of Joseph. And in this verse, I see three steps that we can take to maintain gratitude. Now, Jacob was not always grateful. In fact, we read in the book of Genesis, when Jacob first came down to Egypt, Joseph presented his father to Pharaoh, and Jacob's comment was, "Few and evil have been my years." Now, that doesn't sound like a grateful spirit, does it? "Few and evil have been my years." But here in Hebrews 11:21, we see real gratitude in the heart of Jacob. And so our topic could be retaining gratitude, if I still think I have it, or regaining gratitude if I recognize that I've slipped from it. Three steps then. First of all, notice in Hebrews 11:21, the first step, we read that by faith Jacob blessed each of the sons of Joseph. By faith, he blessed them. Now, in blessing them, he was passing on to them God's promise. Genesis chapter 48, verses 3 to 6, we find, "Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give thee this will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And so Jacob here was remembering God's promise and passing this promise on to Joseph and specifically to his two sons. And so the first way in which we retain gratitude is by remembering what God has said. Or we could put it another way, as we did in our adult retreat yesterday. We spent the day searching out the promises of God. We retain gratitude by remembering the promises. And as we gather together the promises of God and place our hearts upon what God has said, we find this enables us to retain a spirit of gratitude toward God. Now, at this time, Jacob was down in the land of Egypt. It was a strange land. There were no real indications that he or his seed would ever get back to the land of Canaan. But God's promise enabled him to believe that God would fulfill this and by faith pass this promise on to his sons. Now, there's something about gratitude that restores even not only our spirits, but it restores even our physical energy. You know, as you notice in chapter 47, Jacob was talking with Joseph about taking his bones back up into Canaan and burying them there. And on that occasion, Israel couldn't even sit up in bed. We read that he worshipped there. He bowed himself on his bed. He was really weak. But here, where he remembers God's promise and passes this promise on to Joseph, we read that he sat up in bed. He pulled himself together. He gathered strength. In verse 2, he strengthened himself and he sat upon the bed. And there's something, I think, to that in our own lives, that as we remember God's promises and as this builds gratitude in our hearts, it gives us even new physical strength. I heard of a man who had gone into a hospital because of a nervous breakdown. Nothing physically wrong, but just a nervous breakdown. And there in that hospital, someone suggested to him that he think of all the people that had been a blessing and a help and an encouragement to him in his life. And he decided he would do that. And so he got himself some stationery and he began writing letters expressing appreciation to all the people that had been a blessing to him, all the people that had helped him, all the people that had encouraged him. You know, it wasn't long and he was out of that institution. Just of gratitude. Gratitude for what other people had done for him. Gratitude to God for the people that God had brought into his life. And so Jacob here sat up in bed and claimed the promise for the children of Joseph. And we find in verse 21 of Genesis 48, Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. And so he retained gratitude by remembering what God had said. And in our own lives, we fight ingratitude by remembering the promises that God has made. We sing the song, Standing on the Promises. And by the way, that's the only way we keep standing, is on the promises. Standing on the promises, and as we remember the promises, the ones that come to our minds, all things work together for good, and I will never leave you nor forsake you, ask and it shall be given unto you, and all the other dozens and dozens and hundreds of promises, they strengthen us and help us to remain grateful, even when the pressures are on and things become difficult. We retain gratitude by remembering what God has said. Secondly, we retain gratitude by remembering what God has done. Hebrews 11:21, we read, by faith, Jacob blessed the two sons of Joseph. And here the emphasis is upon whom he blessed. He blessed the two sons of Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 11, notice what Jacob says there. And Jacob. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. Jacob said, you know, Joseph, I never thought I would see you again. I thought you were dead. Joseph, my son, has certainly been destroyed by some wild beast. And I never dreamt I would ever see you again. And now, here are my grandchildren, through you. Here are your sons. And Jacob was just thrilled with what God had done. At one time, he had thought Joseph was gone. He had thought Simeon was gone. Simeon was down in jail, in prison in Egypt. He had thought that Benjamin would be gone too. And it said, you've robbed me of all of my sons. And at that time, he said, all these things are against me. And now, he had all of his family together. And we read the whole list of them by name. All 70 of his children and grandchildren were all together down there in Egypt. And Jacob here just says, God, you've done great things. And he says, I never thought I would even see Joseph again. And here I have my whole family together. And that's another way that we retain gratitude, not only by what God has promised. We retain gratitude by remembering what God has done. You know, it's amazing how after perhaps years of good health, we can become ill, and after about the second or third week in bed, the response is, God, where are you? What did I do to deserve this? The idea being that I deserve something much better than this. And we forget about all the years of health and strength after about 2 weeks of illness. And Jacob here looked back, and he retained gratitude by remembering what God had done and by thanking him for having all of his family together after all these years. We remember what God has done. But you know, there's another aspect to this, and I'd like to call this our third point. Not only remembering what God has done, but remembering that God has done it. Remembering that it is God who has done it. Now, we have a real danger here, because when unusual blessing comes into our lives, our first temptation is to think that we either did something to bring that to pass, or we did something to deserve that it happen. And the only way we can retain gratitude to God is by remembering that He's the one that did it. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we have a very important portion of Scripture here. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to read verses 11 through 18. Because God recognizes that this is a tremendous danger in the life of His people. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. God says He's going to bring them into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then He says, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You were slaves, he says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and draught, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And the grave danger is that after God has brought blessing into our lives, to forget that it is God who has brought that blessing. One day, King Nebuchadnezzar stood in his palace overlooking the city of Babylon. And he said, is this not great, the great city of Babylon that I have built? He didn't build Babylon. He hadn't even lifted a single brick. It was God's blessing and the hard work of the people that built the city of Babylon. But he forgot. He forgot who had really done it. And we need to remember that it is God who brings blessing into our lives. And this is what Jacob did. He remembered who brought it. Now, as I was reading Hebrews 11:21, the first part was no problem. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. That's fine. Here we find that he retained gratitude by remembering the promise. He retained gratitude by remembering what God had done. He expressed his gratitude because he worshipped. That was the expression of his gratitude. But I couldn't imagine what was the purpose of telling us that he was leaning on the top of his staff. What does that have to do with it? Now, I don't believe that this was just thrown in loosely. In other words, as the author was writing the book of Hebrews, he just threw this in. Because God is the author of Scripture, and he doesn't just throw things in. We read that every word of Scripture is inspired and profitable. And so I puzzled over this for several days, and I said, God, there must be a reason. Why do you tell us that he was leaning on his staff? What difference does that make? All of a sudden, the Lord brought to mind that there was a previous occasion when Jacob's staff was mentioned. Turn in your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, look at verse 9. Jacob here is coming back from Haran, where he had been with his uncle Laban, and he was heading south, and Esau was heading north, and Jacob was afraid. He had divided everything he had into two large groups of people and possessions. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and unto thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. You know what Jacob was saying? Jacob was saying, Lord, when I passed over this Jordan going up towards my uncle Laban's, the only thing I had to my name was this staff. That's all there was. And as he made that trip, it was a lonely trip. He'd left his home, his parents. He didn't dare stay there because his brother wanted to kill him. He was making the trip all alone, a fearful trip. He was going up towards his uncle Laban's, whom he had never met, and he didn't know how things were going to go there. The only thing he had to his name was his staff. Coming back down, he had so many people and possessions, he could divide it into two groups. In case he smote one, he still had the other. And here he's saying, Lord, you've just blessed me in such a marvelous way. Going up, all I had was my staff, and coming back, look at all that I have. Look at all that you've blessed me with. And so I think Jacob's staff was something very special to him, because he remembered that there was a time when that was all that he had. Now, Jacob was down in Egypt. Now, do you remember what Pharaoh told Joseph when he said, now you go up and get your father and his family and bring them all down to Egypt? Do you remember what he said? He said, tell them don't worry about anything they've got. Leave all their old furniture and anything they've got, all their clothing, just leave it all there. Don't bother to bring anything because all of Egypt is at their disposal. And so here, his son Joseph was ruler over Egypt. Anything they wanted of all the riches of Egypt were theirs. Not a thing to worry about. All of his grandchildren there around him. All of his children, even the ones he thought he had lost. And in the midst of all of this blessing, we read that Jacob worshipped. And when he worshipped, he bowed his head, leaning on the top of that staff, so he wouldn't forget that there was a day when that was all that he had. So that he wouldn't forget that it was God who had blessed him. That it was God who had provided all of this for him. And since this is such a great temptation in our lives, I wonder if it wouldn't really be helpful to us to find something that will remind us constantly of the pit from which we've been dug. That would remind us constantly of what we at one time were. Without God, without hope. I have a little photostatic copy of my naval discharge. And you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the day when I was being discharged from the Navy. I had no family with me, all alone. I had very little money. I had very little clothes, and what I did have was soon going to be useless. What do you do with old Navy uniforms? Can't keep on wearing them. Still didn't have a wife or children or home or furniture, occupation, ministry, nothing at all. And I said, I'm going to set that right on my desk. So I can look at that and remember that there was a time when all I had was God. Because, you know, it's easy to forget that. And when God blesses us and we've got our family around us and our home and all our these luxurious necessities, and God is blessing in so many ways, and the temptation is to think, well, when God blesses, he looks around, he finds ones that deserve it, you know. And we forget that it is God who has given us what we have. And Jacob had his staff, and he said, this staff to me is very, very important, because there was a time that all I had to my name was this staff and God. Can you remember back to a time when all that you had was God? Now, maybe this morning you don't have God. But you know, this morning you can take care of that problem. We read in Scripture, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're not saved this morning, if you're not sure that you have God, if you're not sure that Jesus Christ lives in your heart by faith, there was never a moment when you trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you've known about the gospel all your life. Maybe you've heard these things many times. But there was never a time when you recognized that unless He saved you, you'd be lost. You'd be lost forever. And you determined at that moment, "Oh God, right now, I do receive You as my Lord and Savior." And if you're not sure this morning that you're saved, you can have God this morning. Because Scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Scripture says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." And you can become a son, a child of God, born into His family, if this morning you will receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so, if you've gone thus far without really knowing that you even have God, you can have Him this morning. As you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, right now, in your heart. But this morning, if there's a time when you can think back when you did trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and at that time, that's all you had, and God is blessed, now's the time to remember Jacob's admonition and find something that'll remind you of the day when all you had was God, so that you won't become ungrateful for what He's done. Ingratitude is the first step away from God. But there are three beautiful ways of fighting it. You remember, first of all, what God has said. Just go through and start standing on the promises. Then you remember all that God has done, all the way He's led you. And then you remember that it's God who did it, and not because of any strength of your own, not because of any merit of your own, but it's God. So we pray.